May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our text for this morning comes from the Old Testament lesson from Exodus 17, especially these words. And Moses called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the quarreling of the people of Israel and because they tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is our text. You may be seated. On the lips of Juliet, Shakespeare put these words, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Well, it turns out there is a lot in names, which Juliet, a Capulet, discovers when she becomes romantically involved with someone with the last name of Montague and discovered that that was forbidden. Names matter. So how about this for a name? Is the Lord among us or not? How would you like to have a place named for something that you did? Not something good, not named after you, but a place named for some sin that you had committed. Maybe something like place where she gossiped, or place where he had lustful thoughts, or place where they got angry with their loved ones. It's not a very pleasant idea. We wouldn't want some terrible thing we had done to be forever commemorated by naming a place after it. But that's exactly what happens here in our Old Testament lesson. That's what Moses does. He names the place after what the Israelites were doing, testing God and quarreling. The word Massah means testing, and Meribah means quarreling or complaining. In fact, this event is brought up again hundreds of years later in Psalm 95, in which God says, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, or on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work." Let's deal with the Israelites' offense first. At this point in Exodus, the Israelites haven't been very long removed from Egypt. They haven't yet been consigned by God to wander the wilderness for 40 years. At this point, they're just on their way to the promised land, not even 6 months after leaving Egypt. To be sure, the 10 plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, the pillar of cloud, and the pillar of fire must be still fresh in their minds. They had seen God's amazing works. All but the very youngest among them would have remembered these things. And yet, at the first sign of discomfort, "Give us water to drink." The people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" Really? That's why God brought you up out of Egypt, was to kill you? You haven't seen God doing all these amazing things for you? Moses must be thinking. Can you imagine being Moses, putting up with these people? He asks God to give them water, but he's probably thinking to himself, "Just close their lips up for a while, please, Lord. That would be fine." They grumbled, they doubted, they tested. Is the Lord among us or not? Many people wonder the same thing today. Surely you've noticed the fear and panic surrounding the coronavirus. Such situations can cause many people to either assume that God has lost control altogether or that he doesn't really care, so I'll have to take care of myself. Of course, I'm about to tell you, we are really no different, at least no different than the Israelites were. We know God is good. We know God has made us his own in baptism. We know he gives us what we need for this life and for the life to come. We know that we have much to be thankful for, far more than any of us deserve. And we know that we're not only to rejoice in the good things of life, but as St. Paul tells us, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Even unpleasant things in this life, God can use for the good of his people. And yet, Do we grumble? Do we, like Israel, look around us and wonder, is God among us or not? When we come to worship, do we not begin our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit? And has not God promised that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there he is in the midst of them? And does not Jesus himself say, this is my body, this is my blood? Jesus tells the woman at the well that we are to worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And yet we still ask, is the Lord among us or not? We do. We do ask that question. And so now what? So perhaps we should name our churches something like Massa or Meribah, because it turns out they're full of people who test God and quarrel with him, myself included. But did you notice that in Exodus, God still gives his grace and his favor to the people? Despite their doubt, despite their unbelief, God provides. He gives them the water. The Lord said to Moses, pass on before the people, taking with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. God blesses the people there. He still takes care of them. The very thing that they were grumbling about, God provides through Moses. And what about us? Well, as we heard in our epistle lesson, for while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the godly? No, for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were weak, while we were grumbling, while we were testing, God gives us water. While we were asking, is the Lord among us or not? Then God comes to us. God's grace in Christ is grace because we don't deserve it, not because we do. We not only have not done anything to earn God's favor, we've actually gone the other way and done everything to not earn his favor. And yet, we have his favor. Christ died some 2,000 years ago, and he just continually pours the benefit of that death and resurrection out upon us in his word and through his sacraments. The Lord is among us here in this place, exactly where he has promised to be. Consider the woman at the well in our gospel lesson for this morning. Now, she's not going up to Jesus and specifically grumbling against God per se. No, she just can't seem to stay married to anyone. And now she's sleeping around. She's sort of testing God in her own way, if you will. And what does Jesus do? He comes to her anyway. He offers her water that she doesn't even realize that she needs. Not the water from Jacob's well, but living water. Water that doesn't just prolong physical life, but water that gives eternal life. And when? After she's left her life of sin? No, he offers it to her right there. He offers this living water to a sinner, just as he offers it to us. He personally reveals himself as the Messiah. He says to her, I am he, declaring himself to be God. The same God that gave water to the grumbling Israelites at Massa and Meribah gives her living water. The same God that sees our doubt and our grumbling and our testing gives us the living waters of our baptism. Waters that overflow in us, welling up to eternal life. The same God that was with Israel is with us, forgiving our sins. I suppose we could be like Moses and name our churches after things that we've done. Hate Lutheran Church, Lust Lutheran Church, Grumbling Lutheran Church, or Massa, Meribah. But we don't do that. Not because we're not guilty of those things, but because of who God is and what he has done. We give our churches names like Trinity, St. Paul, Grace and Faith, and Prince of Peace and Victory in Christ. For God is triune. He is full of grace. As St. Paul reminds us, we receive God's grace through faith. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and through him we have been given victory over sin and death and the devil. The Lord is among us, even when we question his presence and blessing, even when we doubt, even in our times of unbelief, he is with us, and his favor is upon us. We can trust his promises. Lo, I am with you, even to the end of the age. He is with us. He defeats sin for us. He continually forgives. Jesus receives us as sinful as we are reminded in the hymn, Jesus sinners doth receive. Oh, may all this saying ponder, who in sin's delusions live, and from God and heaven wander. Here is hope for all who grieve. Jesus sinners doth receive. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.